You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Ever since you found out there was the National Spelling Bee, you've seen yourself holding up that trophy. But if you can't say it, you can't win it. So say it.
I want to win.
You want to win what?
I want to win a National Spelling Bee!
Yes!
Clip from Akilah and the Bee. Yes, it's that time of year again. The 81st competition of the Scripps National Spelling Bee concludes tonight. More than 280 competitors from America to South Korea are competing to spell words you've never heard of, and some you have, but maybe don't know how to spell. What are the words that trip you up? We want to know. We have plenty of time to get your responses in between now and the end of the hour. Whether it's spelling or pronunciation, what word changed your life? Krista Freeland is with me, managing editor of the Financial Times. Good speller? Bad speller?
Terrible speller.
Terrible speller. But you've got spell check for that, right? In this year.
I have spell check, and I sort of get caught between Canadian spelling, British spelling, and American spelling. So that's
why? Why do you get caught?
I am Canadian. The FT is global, so we sort of struggle with how we should spell things.
And you speak Ukrainian?
I am Ukrainian. Yes, I speak Ukrainian.
So that probably messes up your spelling, too.
It doesn't mess up my spelling. The interesting thing, and with the spelling
bee, you need to buy a vowel in Ukrainian often, right?
No. Ukrainian has lots of great mellifluous vowels. Right. But I think that we should pause for a moment and really respect our children who are learning how to read. Because my 7-year-old is simultaneously learning how to read in English and Ukrainian. And Ukrainian, being a phonetic language, is much, much easier.
Interesting. Well, how do spellers prepare wherever they are from and whatever their first language is? We welcome in the mother and coach of the Spelling Bee this year's youngest contestant, Rupa Hathwar. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Rupa is in the competition, but your 8-year-old son, Shriram, is in the competition. How did he do?
Well, he couldn't get past. He got his second word, the round 2 test, right, but he couldn't get enough points in his written test, so that's why he couldn't advance past the preliminaries.
What was the word that screwed him up, or that messed him up?
Well, there were in the written test, there were actually 25 words, and there were a few words that he had to spell, and one of them was Pyrrhic, P-Y-R-R-H-I-C.
Oh, Pyrrhic, like Pyrrhic victory. Oh, mm-hmm. No, that's a tough one. A lot of, you know, you need to buy a vowel in that word, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, Rupa, what is it like to coach your son in English when English, I suspect, is not your first language?
Well, yes, definitely it's tough, but we do have help from different sources, and including the audio pronunciation websites and software. So, yeah, I try to use most of the time.
But Shriram's doing okay, right? He's not going to be scarred for life because of this, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, 5 minutes later, he's like a typical boy jumping around and running. He had mentioned before that it's okay if you get a word wrong. He's not going to be devastated. And just he's come here just for the fun of it. So his spelling is the only one of the few things that he does in life. And he's got many other interests. So.
Well, Rupa and her son live in Pointed Post, New York, and I suspect you'll be heading back there after the weekend. More about the spelling bee in a moment, but also joining us is Maria Mariani. Maria, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
So, Maria, you helped to develop spell check with IBM back in the 1970s, right?
That's correct.
Now, if spell check works the way I suspect you envisioned it, there may not be spelling bees 100 years from now. True or false?
Oh, no, that's false. The spelling bee will always be around, and if you're a reader, a good reader, you'll be a good speller. And spell check is just an aid, and it really is a typing aid, and that's really what it's all about.
Now, would it ever be possible to put, like, spell check in a cell phone, which you could smuggle into a spelling bee, and it'd be kind of like the steroid controversy?
Well,
where...
Yeah, I think so. Right now, you know, the kids are using, you know, that, you know, messaging and texting, you know. And when you text, you get the ability to check a word and check the spelling of a word, or it will give you options for a word. So, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it could happen right now.
Are you a bad speller?
I'm a great speller.
You're a great speller, and you developed spell check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, now I wouldn't have thought that.
Well, you know, it was a group of linguists from Georgetown, and I happened to be one of them from Georgetown University.
Rupa, do you use spell check on your computer?
Yes, I do sometimes, but I try to. I consider myself as somewhat of a good speller too. So yes, but I do like to still use spell check sometimes.
Is it possible to know what the most misspelled word is based on some sort of statistical analysis of spell check, Maria?
I'm sure there's a way to figure it out. You know, yes, I would say so.
But you can't speculate.
No.
I mean, what is the...
I'm sure there are people who have done studies on it. I'm sure that, you know, if you went online and said, you know, the most frequently, you know, misspelled word, it would probably pop up. Somebody has probably figured it out with the program.
So, Rupa, is Shriram going to try next year to be in the spelling bee?
Well, he doesn't want to keep doing it. That's what he said a couple of days ago. So I guess we will be seeing him.
Well, you know, there's plenty of time to convince him that maybe he ought to give it another shot, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's obviously totally up to him to decide what he wants to do, and we are there to support his wishes, so we'll see what happens.
I'm a famously bad speller myself. Maria, have you ever done a spelling bee?
I have, yes.
Really?
In grammar school.
And how'd you do?
I made it to the end. Didn't win, but, you know.
What was the word? What was the word?
I can't remember what the word was, to tell you the truth.
You blocked it out?
Yeah, probably.
It was pretty traumatic for you.
Yeah. I don't know that it was traumatic, but, yeah, I was disappointed.
Well, Maria, thank you very much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
Maria Mariani helped to develop spell check with IBM back in the 1970s. Rupa Hathwar, thank you so much for getting up early and joining
us.
Thank you. Mother of 8-year-old Shriram, the youngest contestant at the Scripps National Spelling Bee, who lost it on the word Pyrrhic. If you can spell Pyrrhic, you can
pretty
call
forgivable
us.
In pretty an 8-year-old,
yes,
don't
in
you
an
think?
8-year-old. I think so. I mean, I couldn't even believe there are 8-year-olds there. Now, spell check, I imagine, is pretty useful in your line of work.
It is, but it can be very dangerous.
Because?
Names can trip you up.
Proper names
don't get caught by spell check, and it can also create a false sense of security, particularly among younger reporters who have always lived in a spell check universe.
And you get somebody's name wrong, and they're going to come after you. We've been asking, what words trip you up or tripped you up in your life? We have one answer here.
Yes, Josh Corey from Brooklyn, New York. I was changed with the word nonplussed. It means surprised or confused. But I always thought there was a sense of being non-enthusiastic.
That's great. I immediately thought of aficionado, said Gary from Boston, and then you said it tripped you up too, John. Also, someone has emailed us, I remember being caught flat-footed by an actor who gently explained that flaccid was actually pronounced flaccid, not flaccid, and I still really don't know how to pronounce portentous. That's from our website at mytake@thetakeaway.org or 877-8-MYTAKE. Now, have any words been decisive in your life that had nothing to do with spelling? Like, did you ever say something that you wish you could take back? Maybe just one word or maybe a pronunciation that messed you up, something like that?
Many words have been decisive, and there are many words I would take back. I would guess the spelling dilemma, mm-hmm. which I currently face and get asked about a lot, is Kiev or Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Should it be spelt K-I-E-V or K-Y-I-V? As the Ukrainian government would prefer.
Well, no, see, that controversy I was not even aware of. Can you pronounce Medvedev?
Medvedev.
Medvedev. Oh, you're good.
Очень хорошо, да, конечно.
Oh, man, this is great. All right, do we have the last bit of tape that I wanted to play for Krista? Because this is something I've always wanted to ask somebody who's familiar with the markets. Dylan? Yeah. Every day, some corporation, some business leader stands up there and rings the closing bell. This is like something people want to do?
It's something they love to do.
They love to do.
It's an honor. The problem is there's something...
They pay money to do that, right? It's like an
advertising. There's something a little bit artificial about the whole thing because we're moving to electronic trading. So one day, will there be a trading floor on which you can ring that bell? And in the era of global markets, do the markets ever really close?
Well, Krista Freeland, it seems as though you're saying that the markets may go away, but it's probably the case that the New York Stock Exchange will figure out a way of just keeping that bell there just for a photo op.
We certainly hope so, because we love putting it on the front page.
Front page of the paper. Krista Freeland, a managing editor of the Financial Times, thanks for being the ride along this week.
Great pleasure.
Thank you very much. And, of course, all on our website, your stories of words that tripped you up, coverage of politics. Remember, this weekend we have the Puerto Rico primary on Sunday. On Saturday, the Florida and Michigan delegations are going to get resolved. Keep your responses coming to anything you heard on today's show. It's your conversation. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. My co-host, Adore Udoji, will be back on Monday.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.